Oh my gosh, my throat. Hey, Bam Bam. No problem. Gonna try to figure out how to do this music again on here. Good time. Okay. Oh God, that's loud. It just all of a sudden stops and starts over again at the wrong spot. It sounds terrible. Let's see. Well, for those of you that are listening to this later, we are going to be finishing watching The Sunset Strip. It's a documentary called The Sunset Strip. Slash history slash famous celebrity slash West Hollywood. If you're going to look for it to watch it, it's free on YouTube. It's about an hour and 35 minutes, I think, long. So far, it's really good. So I hope that you enjoy it. It's about the famous Sunset Strip. There is. Hey, Bam Bam.
Hola.
How are you?
I am good.
Oh, good.
For some reason, I can only get 4731. I can't get it to get 30.
I know. It was so damn hard. I was just sitting here going, am I going to be able to do this? And I just kept going back and forth. So, when we start, I'll tell you. I mean, it happened so fast where it gets to 31.
Yeah.
It just goes right past it, and then yeah, it was
I
not
went back
easy.
to 4727, hit play, and then I went to hit pause, and it was just like 31.
It's very hard. Yeah, you see her in her leopard pants. She's just in a different angle or something. Yeah, it goes very quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, once again, it's Thursday night. Welcome to Heavy Breathing with Tuttles.
Yes. And Pebbles is listening. She'll listen to the heavy breathing. All right. Well, do you want to just get ready and go? I guess I can do one, two, three, go. All right. Yeah, but let me see. One, two, three, go. Okay, I'm at 31.
Every 24 hours was like months because so much was crammed into it. Every minute,
She
honestly, I'd get
reminds
up
me of
that day and
there's
I had
this
no
guy
idea
that interviews musicians and
that it
stuff
was
up in our
always
area called
anything that
Nardwar.
happened
Nardwar is his name.
Yeah. And he dresses all weird stuff. We have the Canadian version of Much Music called MTV or whatever, or vice versa. You
Yeah.
guys got MTV, we got Much Music or whatever it is. Oh,
There's
let me.
Mummy.
73, the year after Irving. If you've been coming out for a while, you get into it, you know. But
You can understand him a little bit better here.
to say, not too superbly. Damn the answer to the place, yes. It's got a lot of history in it for rock and roll, you know. I mean, it's the whole history of rock and roll, just about, you know. And you've got goes back even further than that, and that Judy Garland, that then sent him an Emmy year, and Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe here, you know, and it was an Italian restaurant, yeah? Sinatra and Dean Martin used to hang out here, so it goes back a long way, you know.
You know, I used to park my bike outside the Rainbow on a Friday and Saturday night to literally just sit on the bike, and 10 minutes there'd be a bird on the back and I'd be off.
I was like, what? A bird on the back? When I was watching this first time, I'm like, what the hell?
It's a fucking dinner place. You know, like, what is it? Like, I can't. It was because they had these little nooks and crannies where you could go back in the corner and you'd be having to just go raging party. And nobody would ever come by and be like, you guys can't do that here. Are you crazy? No one would say anything. The bathroom, under the tables, out in back, in the alley, like, nobody, like, I can't even imagine that happening right now.
I mean, I had my cock sucked everywhere.
The Rambo, the whiskey, you name it, there was some place I didn't get my cock sucked. Nothing mattered. It wasn't AIDS, it wasn't, you know, people just ripped it, man. The Hyatt House was the party place. I don't know if anybody actually, I think they got rooms just to go from party to party to party to party to party. And it was like the Old West. There was no law at the Hyatt House. You could go to any floor, get off the elevator, and there was some kind of party going on. And you go to the next floor, and there was another party going on. But this was 24 hours a day. It was the insane asylum.
I am under the influence of a dangerous drug, and I'm liable to flip out at any moment and kill you or myself. LSD does funny things. And then they were looking and laughing at it. I was like, shut up. Or everyone on here was tear gas.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She was a cute pop star. Wouldn't that be something?
It was called a live house. I mean, with that crazy stuff that went down there. It was like, in England, when you take an ass around and go to the movies, well, eventually, things happen, you know. It's just like, wow. What disease have I got?
Oh, jeez.
Led Zeppelin there a lot, and they had the entire 6th floor. They always rented out the entire 6th floor, and you know, took over.
Everyone knew in Hollywood that Zeppelin were in town, and those guys were so fucking wild. They'd abuse the chicks. They like to push it to see how far they can go, burning them, cutting their hair off, handcuffing them. I mean, you know, leaving them handcuffed for a couple of days in the room.
And then riding motorcycles up and down the hallway in the hideout for these wild, wild parties up all night, throwing TVs out the window. All that stuff was true.
They threw something in the swimming pool and ruined all of Elvis' poems. They're really weird. They could probably be the worst, but there were many that abused loads of people on the strip. But that would never, ever, ever have been tolerated anywhere else but America. And America, they were like, oh, do you want to hit me some more? Do you want to burn me? Do you want to fuck me with a fucking, you know, rod of iron? We'll do it. And that's how it was.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay insane,
holy shit.
Yeah. They get into comedy here.
Spinning around in infinity, so forgetting about that show, I was scared for a second. I know you did.
It's a frightening profession. I am a schmuck. I could have been a caterer. I realize now. I don't want to be negative. It's too hot. It's too nice up here. I got to tell you something. My mother lives in Jersey. How did she get the Roxy backstage number? It's really unbelievable. I just thought.
We don't know who the fuck we are. We don't know why we even do anything today. So, anyway, it's good to have a clubhouse. And there were a lot of clubhouses on this trip.
And this was Syrah. I'm telling you, this place is jumping. The thing that the different eras had in common. Well, you had cocaine, you had young people, you had alcohol, you had three more of the other. That's what makes the thing such a place to the people who made this thing happen. That the public came to see all of it. We were all crazy.
I was studying for a minute. What are you talking about?
The comedy store, he's walking in there when you're 20 years old and you're, you know, like this kid from Iowa, and seeing those names on the wall, the pictures, and there's Letterman and Robin Williams and there's Steve Martin, and it's just impossible. It's impossible that you are there.
There was a method to the madness. You had a place to work.
You had to fight in your part of it.
You had to fight in your part of it.
That's why the people practice. Like when Pryor would play here, you know, on like a weekend, it was like attending a heavyweight prize fight in Vegas.
I was a cocktail waitress at the Comedy Store from October of 1980 until October of 1981. And that was the explosion of stand-up comedy.
Stay away from me.
This man's a genius. Now, who else can take all the forms of comedy, slapstick, satire, mime, stand up, and turn it into something that will offend everyone?
Richard Pryor was at the Comedy Store every single night back then, preparing for his film Live on the Sunset Strip. He was the god that we must all obey. Whatever he said went.
I want to know the two people who first did coke. And one looked at the other and said, we're not going to tell anyone about this.
I think it was me.
When I first came out, it was Sam Kennison and those guys, and they had guns, and they were always doing coke. I mean, I'd never seen it before. And I thought, man, this stand-up's a lot tougher than I thought.
Listen, you think that they're ballers now. These kids now don't know what balling is. They don't know. This stuff was pure, and they had it.
Welcome, House Man Alzane Kamara. Welcome.
Careened at a breakneck pace between the irreverent and the outrageous. It was not only his comedy that was unpredictable, there was always a strong sense that the act was a reflection of the man, and the man a bizarre reflection of a generation. Now John Belushi is dead.
The Chateau Marmont sits just above Sunset Boulevard in the Hollywood Hills. It is a landmark in this town, a hotel where many actors stay while in Los Angeles, and where some live. John Belushi was among the hotel's frequent visitors. He had checked into Bungalow 3 last Sunday, and it was in the bungalow's master bedroom where Belushi was found dead just afternoon today.
We were kind of excited that Belushi was popping in, and then he did come in, and it just looked like shit. It just looked like hell. He was trying so hard and not to do coke. He actually had to hire people to keep people with drugs away from him.
March 5th, 1982, my partner passed away. Or was taken by a, what you can say, an accidental drug overdose.
And Belushi was a warhorse. He could smoke more than anybody else. He could drink more than anybody else. He could eat more than anybody else. He could take more drugs than anybody else. And Belushi died, and people were freaked. And Richard Pryor was one who was freaked. And Paul Mooney, who was writer and dear friend, who had tried so hard to keep him sober, had Richard up against the wall saying, "Man, don't you get it? This is what they're saying about you. Everybody thought that would be you."
Yeah, I remember Richard Pryor. He lit himself on fire, blew himself up, free basically cocaine before crack was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Like his face, right?
Mm-hmm.
She came in, loaded out of his mind, came up to me and said, "Is some folks Pryor coming tonight?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm at the Chateau Marmont.
Tell them." Really, Nelson? Blah, blah, blah,
blah. And then he left. And Richard came in, and I gave the message. I said, "Richard, don't go up there to the Chateau Marmont because they're all up there. And you're in the wagon, you get off this.
Can you save her in Pryor's wife?"
I said, "Go home. I said, go home." And he did go home.
That's real.
He went home with the rest of them.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. Richard would have been up there and been the number of all of it.
I don't know what to say to you. You know? I mean, I see you there. You all look vulnerable. And I'm sober. And it's a real strange feeling being sober because I got nothing to do tonight. I'm sober sleep.
Well, that's whose instincts we have, the instinct to live and the instinct to kill ourselves. You do know that. That's very much.
They're dying in LA, it all happens here, it seems like.
Hey, man, business place.
I got something better for you.
You feel as though Jack Kerouac was down in Venice Beach, you know, or
John Doe
over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm part of that, and it's sort of true, and you're sort of blowing smoke up your own ass. So.
She looks like my hematologist.
Oh, really?
I swear. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to tell her next time. Have you ever heard of the band X? I doubt it.
She's moonlighting as a punk rocker.
Yeah. Xene? She Russian or something? That last name?
But it was still us against them, so at least we united against people from the outside. And there was, I think it was more supportive. If one band succeeded a little bit, that was good for all of us.
We'd be at a show that we'd say, "What's happened tomorrow night?" And everyone would congregate at that club the next night.
They'd have acts and all the bags and the weirdos and the germs and stage diving. It was packed, a lot of noise, loud.
Angry, violent germs. It was an angry, violent scene.
From the rock days, hanging around, the police would come and clear everybody away. You know, they seemed to like the hair bands because they, I don't know, they were, the girls wore skimpy clothes and the guys were loaded. I don't know.
He's an actor too, that guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he was in that movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. He played the bartender that was a drug dealer and he fired him.
Oh.
He's in a few B-rated horror films, too. Rat.
80, 81.
81, 82.
and everything into like all the rock bands, like over a summer.
I mean, those were the good days because it was all new. You know, we were just, there's Sunset Boulevard. Have at it.
Between the Roxy and the whiskey, it was just like a parade of freaks walking up and down the Sunset. The Rainbow being kind of the epicenter of the whole thing, the meeting place. So there was like a whole scene of people just like walking from show to show, coming here to get a drink, going to another show. And it just, it was like a street festival every night.
I mean, there was a time when hanging out and
Jesus.
All the venues,
I was like, is that a guy or a girl? Because the other guy, remember, he just looks like an old lady.
I'm not even going to try and guess, because that looks like a dude dressed
right.
Like a chick.
Right. I know.
Courtney Love. Wow.
Sunset Strip, and there were so many
people
just crazy, you know, of all different types of rock genres.
It's just like too many long nerves. Too much butchers and dirt blasters.
Too much spandex. Too much the same thing.
Too many glam dudes.
Stayed away from the Strip because it was sold out like glam rock era thing, you know what I mean? So if you didn't have teased hair or whatever, they had kind of taken over this whole part of the Strip.
Well, I think that's where we all hung out here, because we weren't in that scene.
Yeah, so we had to have a little place to, you know, hide out.
After 11 years, I've been on the Sunset Strip every single one of the longest running heavy metal weekly show in the history of
Lexi Fox.
That's fucking awesome. If you're in heavy metal, like we all four are. It's the only place to be, is right here.
Right, you know what, during the day, you could, if you're not doing anything, you could go to the zoo.
You can go to the zoo.
That's Lexi Fox. That was Lexi Fox. He is random.
Sometimes the lights blitz off.
Plus, if that was the glistening, actually, it comes off on some of the cocktails out there.
It's any kind of coffee.
What?
I was watching a documentary one time on Motley Crue, and they were explaining why bands went to glam. Because everything was just getting so metal, hardcore, dark. There was nothing left to do. So the real tough guys started dressing like chicks. And then that became glam rock. Because there's nothing tougher than a guy who can get away with dressing like a chick and not being a homosexual.
I'll take that glam rock over the guys nowadays that are dressing like, I don't know what the hell. They're wearing pearl necklaces and painting their nails like pink and blue, all different colors, and then wearing girl clothes. It's like, whatever, dude, you just look stupid. I'm sorry. You're trying to look cool, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work for you.
Yep.
Every bar had something going on.
3 years, maybe 3 or 4 years, and then Nirvana came along and it blended. Then that old grunge thing, dirty looking people, started.
Somehow gave the perception that it was uncool.
Dirty looking people. He's funny.
Because people dying of drugs and people getting AIDS, that time is just gone. Because, I mean, when you hear the term sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that was it. I mean, that really, really, really was it, you know?
That was the last time it was like that.
And people won't, you know, now it's not cool to say, hey, you got drugs. You're like, hey, you're a weirdo.
It felt real hollowed out. Like, people come back and you guys want to do some blow, and you're like, no, and they're like, kind of depressed, like, nobody party with, you know? Grunge at that time, although it seems very kind of cozy and cute now, completely annihilated everything that hair metal stood for. It was sort of a joke. It was like more like cartoon characters coming through the door, you know? We didn't want to be part of the cartoon. We were sort of blowing the cartoon up. And so, yeah, the Sunset Strip we encountered was the sad face clown version of it. You know, like, oh, it's so fun. Not so fun anymore.
When grunge took over metal, and it did, it really knocked it out. We were like,
why do you keep saying that? It's like, your kids keep lying. It's like having been dumped by a girlfriend, and somebody keeps bringing up how you got dumped by your girlfriend.
This is how it was. Within 20 fucking years, I don't want to hear that. Jesus.
Yeah, they've been together a long time.
I was like, gosh.
First and foremost, wouldn't it be great to have a place that you could go to where you weren't necessarily on display all the time, or you didn't feel like a novelty, you know? You didn't have to sneak in and sneak out, you know, hide and all that. And you could listen to the music, you know, that you and your friends like. And we wanted to hear Louis Jordan, and we wanted to hear Cab Calloway, and we wanted to hear Old Blues, Rob Johnson, and Howard Wolf. So that was the initial thing. Let's make this place feel like it should have been, or like maybe it was back then, you know, in the 30s. Speaking, it was called the Melody Room, then, which was like at that time, I mean, the people that I heard that they played there were like, you know, Charlie Parker, Coltrane, you know, all these amazing players from back in the day. You know. So, we were all very excited about the history of the place.
It was a really cool time. It was definitely something that was so different. The Viper Room paved the way for everything, for where I am today with music and all. There's something so amazing about the intimacy performing for such a small crowd, and every single person is just feeling it. Because Capri started as an underground cabaret act, really. I remember Johnny saying, this is why I opened the club. This is, I wanted this, you know, and it had only been open for like 6 months. He said, I'd love for you guys to come and perform here and maybe do like once a week kind of residency.
I wonder why he would have shut it down in 2004, though.
That's how it started.
Because you would have thought, like, you know, being who owned it and how popular that stuff was, unless maybe he got bought out.
Yeah.
And it might sound cliche, but it's real. That is real.
Now, wasn't there somebody else that died outside of that?
I'm not too sure.
Maybe it's just that age one.
What had happened when you erased the memory, when you erased the
Like, weren't they all like 21 or 28 or something weird?
Johnny Cash came in and played in 94, I believe it was. And it was like a great cleansing. It was like he performed this exorcism.
I got a friend named Whiskey Sam. He was my Boone Rat buddy for a year and now. He said, I think my country got a little off track. It took him 25 years to welcome me back. But it's better than not coming back at all. Many a good man I saw fall. And even now, every time I dream, I hear the men and the monkeys in the jungle scream. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. Drive on.
Wow.
History with these people, and it, you see people come, you see people go, you see people sadly die, you see people succeed, and it's all happening in one place.
I didn't even know she could sing.
Yeah, I was trying to find that, and I was having a hard time finding that.
Besides being Ozzy's daughter, I didn't know if she actually ever did anything.
Me neither. I had no idea that she sung.
That's one celebrity I got no love for.
Paris Hilton?
Yeah, not a fan.
Me neither. In fact, I was just shocked because I was in Walmart last week and I turned down the knife aisle and all of a sudden out of this corner of my eye I see something pink and it's a heart-shaped knife block. And it's bright pink, and it's Paris Hilton. Like, you know the knife blocks you put your knives in? I was like, what the hell? She's coming back? What? Why is that? Who would want this ugly pink thing in their kitchen? Ugh.
Yeah, she came out with a documentary and a book and stuff about like how she was so different compared to how she was on the Surreal Life or the Simple Life and stuff like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Records.
That was
a major. That was when you really had to accept that things have changed massively.
Yeah, that was sad.
That is, the Tower Records, even from when I was a little kid, was, you know, like almost a home away from home. And a lot of people, tons of people, sort of identified with Tower Records as being, you know, the music store that we all used to hang out at.
There was conversation It was something in like driving out of that parking lot and holding up the CD on my way out when my friend was going in and being like, I got it. You know, and that was, you know, things were more local. They were more in, you know, right here.
That's part of the problem on society, though. You don't have places like Tower Records. You don't have places like Blockbuster. Like, even on video movie night, we would go to Blockbuster and you'd spend like an hour and a half just wandering around looking for a movie to watch.
Exactly. You know? Like, looking at the covers, reading them. Like, yep.
Laugh about, you want to watch that? Oh, that's a gay movie. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Not gay as in homosexual.
No,
just,
no.
Called. Yeah, just,
exactly. So and that's what kind of sucks too, is that you can't even say things like that when you were growing up, because then you're be judged. Oh, you're homophobic. Oh, you're this, you're that. And it's like, no, you don't, they don't, I hate that. And like he was saying, Tower Records, yeah, you could go there and spend hours and just, yeah. And there were even mom and pop video stores too, you know, you would go into besides the Blockbusters. And
yeah, the one I went to was called Video Man Sam's. I used to buy some cigarettes there, rent movies there. But
the artist, the manager, all those people should be treated better.
Now it's an H&R Block.
Oh,
I don't know,
geez,
if you have those
bummer
in the States, but that's where you get your taxes done.
Yep. H&R Block.
Kids' generation, and then it's going to go again, hopefully. So it's like all these generations of us have grown up together. If you were to do like a family tree of Sunset, it would be very incestuous.
I think we all kind of realize that we are, and it's pretty cool to see, you know, the clubs initially made the street.
Oh, so maybe the Viper Room's still open, just Johnny Depp doesn't have anything to do with it anymore.
Oh, okay.
You were kind of forced to make it something that we thought was cool, something that we were all into, not something our parents showed us or grandparents showed us. It was like, we want to make this our thing.
It took for a new generation to come in and make that happen. I think for a while we were a machine and we were churning. It just kind of wore on itself, and then we kind of looked and we was like, oh, well, we actually have to like start discovering music again.
It seems like there's a new iteration of the essential fantasy of what the Sunset Strip represents every few years. I don't know whether there ever will be again. We're now at a place where it's sort of sponsored and commodified, and the Sunset Strip has just become like a kind of museum in a sense. I'd love to think that it could be revived and reborn in some way, but I'm not quite sure how that's going to happen.
Welcome, Bill. Welcome, CBZVAKQE.
Something a lot of people don't know about the singer of Smashing Pumpkins, Bill Corrigan.
Uh-huh.
There's this wrestling company called the NWA, National Wrestling Association. He's actually the owner of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been a big wrestling fan his whole life.
Interesting. Would never look at him and think of him as being a wrestling fan. But then there's a lot of closet wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
creepy and exciting.
Perry Farrell.
Just, you know, like, tonight we're going to bring a little bit of that Batman. We're going to...
I know his daughter.
Oh, really? Is he Canadian?
No. Poppy Jean Crawford's his daughter.
What's her name?
Poppy Jean Crawford.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite musicians, Perry Farrell. Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never knew his name. Now the guitar, there is it Dave Navarro?
Yep.
Is he in that? Okay.
He was in Jane's Addiction, and then him and them, they got into a big fight, and then he went and joined Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then the album after Blood Sugar Sex Magik, I can't remember what it's called, was a little bit weird for a Red Hot Chili Peppers album.
Yeah.
And that was like the Dave Navarro era, and then he went back to the Jane's Addiction.
Okay. Those chicks just swinging back and forth. This crazy road, it just winds and winds and winds.
Welcome to the show, Sadiq V. Just wrapping up a documentary on the Sunset Strip on YouTube. Oh, it's done.
I was like, is this the end of it?
Yeah, I thought they were just leading into another story because they had a couple neat segues.
Yeah. Marble Man, oh my gosh, that's funny.
This ending reminds me of the ending of the movie The Great Rock and Roll Swindle, the Sex Pistols movie.
Do they do it like a cartoon too?
Yeah. If just give me one second here,
Alice Cooper.
Thank you.
All right. I lost you.
That crap where if I do anything else on my cell phone other than Podbeam is booting me off of Podbeam.
Oh, you know what? Now that you said, oh, now I see. I remember this, the pirates.
Or in a playlist, but I didn't know if you had ever actually watched the video.
A piece of shovel shit. That's funny. Now that's a whole movie, or this is just the video for that one song, right? But there's a whole movie.
Oh no, there's
like
an
that?
Actual. There's a whole movie. The whole movie's not a cartoon. It's a movie called the Great Rock and Roll Swindle.
Okay.
And it's all about the Sex Pistols, like sort of at the end.
Uh huh.
Of their thing. where the hell is it? There we go. If you type in the Great Rock and Roll Swindle and you scroll down a little bit, there'll be a file that'll say 24 videos. And it's actually, it's the complete movie, but they, because of copyrights or whatever, they took the movie and they broke it up into 24 pieces. Kind of like that time we watched Pump Up the Volume, remember?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's just like that, but it is, I believe, there is a version of it that has the whole movie.
Wikipedia.
Or is this just the audio version?
On the one you sent me?
No, that's just, I only sent the one video.
Video, yeah.
There's a compilation of the movie. The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. Movie. And it's the full movie, but it's in pieces. It's segmented. I've watched it on a couple occasions because I just like having it playing in the background.
Yeah. Well, that's not coming
out. I would have to find that file again because this version here, it seems to be just playing the audio. I actually have it downloaded on my phone, so I don't even have to, it can play it. Oh, maybe. No, but if I shut my screen off, I'll find it. Anyways, this other documentary that you just sent, I can't even go and look at it because it'll boot me off. What was the name of that one again?
Oh, Punk Attitude. Punk. And then just this full documentary.
Punk Attitude documentary. Punk Attitude Music Documentary Real Stories.
It says, let me get out of here.
It is, because it had the orange in the background. Yep. I remember seeing it, yeah.
Yeah. Quest TV, full documentary, Quest TV. It says.
Okay. I'll give it a preview.
Yeah. Tell me what you think.
Yeah. It's, I like punk music documentaries.
Yeah, for sure. How are you guys doing?
Whole Sunset Strip and stuff. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Still weird and in this weird state of limbo.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So it's just a little kooky at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, and I don't know what you want to say on here too, so.
Yeah, there's a few circumstances and stuff. It's a little fucky, so.
Yeah, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you guys. I just don't want to bug you, you know what I mean?
Yo, absolutely, I appreciate it, and I understand that completely. It's just weird at the moment.
Yeah. I know. I understand. I don't want you to say anything on here too. And yeah, better the other way. So, yeah. But all right. Yeah. Listen to that. Let me know what you think. And tomorrow I have a playlist and Aaron's got, sports, if you're able to be there, we'd love to have you come.
Oh yeah,
you'll listen.
Definitely be in my ear for sure. I don't know if I can call in or not because I got to do groceries and stuff tomorrow morning and stuff. It's our grocery day. And
how did Austin's job go?
He's working 10-hour shifts Monday through Thursday, and then he has Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. He's really enjoyed it. His new work is actually half owned by Elon Musk, because the guy that actually owns it,
uh-huh,
he's the guy that's friends with Elon Musk that brought Tesla to Canada.
Oh wow.
And this is an experiment, because most of our lettuce in the area comes from California, and they're trying to have a less carbon footprint.
Yeah.
So they took this place that was made for manufacturing marijuana, and they've converted it all to growing lettuce
hydroponics.
And stuff hydroponics upside down. And they have a zero gravity room and stuff like this.
So is it just upside down, or is it in water too?
Oh, it's upside down, and it's piped. It's
like
the tubes got like the foam stuff in it. And
okay.
Nutrients, and they grow them upside down, some hyperbolic upside down zero gravity room that Austin's never even been into yet, because only certain
crazy
people go in there with the lights and stuff.
But
every week it seems like they've been doubling production since they opened, and they've actually got construction crews there making the building twice as big.
Wow.
So it's booming. They're moving a ton of there's lettuce, leaf lettuce, and I think the other one was kale.
Okay.
And it's taken right off, because apparently Ontario is one of the highest places in the world for lettuce consumption.
Oh.
And nothing on the California lettuce, but it's just a matter of buying it, shipping it all the way to Canada and stuff like that. You know, hey, we're going to try and do this here and see what we can do. So they're kicking ass in the market. And it just keeps ramping up every week. It's like doubling every week their production.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, do you guys get to try any of it, or is it at the store where you get to try it?
We could buy it at the grocery store. He can bring some home, but he's new, so he's still too shy.
Apparently,
some people on the packaging line or whatever, they'll just grab a piece of lettuce and shove it in their mouth and stuff. But he literally has to wear like doctor scrubs.
Yeah.
He goes in, they put the hat on, they put the mask on, they got the full on gowns and booties, you know, like those. Shoe covers and all this stuff. It's like
keeping it all clean.
Yeah, because they don't use any chemicals there. There's no pesticides, herbicides, or anything like that.
Oh wow,
it's all
that's
natural.
So cool.
So certified organic.
Wow.
And when it's certified organic and you're not using all the chemicals, you got to be really careful on diseases and, you know, contaminants, right? So
yeah.
Plus, we
were
on a big
really
run
cool
in our area for a lot of recalls for lettuce from California, especially the romaine.
Oh, crap. I have to look into that. I know for a while there was a lot of, what is it? Is it Listeria or the other one? Is it Listeria?
Yeah.
That they get on the vegetables and stuff? Yeah.
See, even us, though, we do know and we're aware of stuff, so we do avoid those particular things, but even head lettuce and leaf lettuce and stuff, before we do anything, we have a lettuce spinner. It's just like, looks like a Tupperware bowl that's got a hand crank on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll always I'll fill it up with cool water, and then I'll put like a cup of lemon juice in it. And believe it or not, lemon juice will kill just about anything. You can cook a chicken in lemon juice.
Really?
Yeah. Like if you took a chicken breast and you put it in lemon juice, like an hour later, it would be like white all the way through it.
That's crazy.
So whenever we're going to do chicken, we soak it in lemon juice. Or when we're doing lettuce, we soak it in lemon juice. Yeah.
Okay,
we
that's
go through
good
a lot
know
of lemons and lemon juice around here. I boil lemons on the stove. My wife gets mad at me because I leave them in too long.
wait.
It purifies the air in your house if you boil lemons. If you
really
want it to smell good, you put a little bit of cinnamon in it.
I didn't know that. I mean, I knew about the cinnamon, like just cinnamon and water, but I didn't know that boiling the lemons cleaned the air.
Yep. I'll buy like a bag of lemons, cut them into quarters, and put them in a pot of boiling water with a little touch of cinnamon, and it purifies the air. Our cleaning products that we use to disinfect all of our surfaces around here since COVID and all that shit, I use 50-50, well, not 50-50, but like 50% vinegar, 40% water, 10% lemon juice.
Okay.
That's what we use to like clean, disinfect our like countertops and stuff like that. Doorknobs and everything.
Well, see, I knew about the vinegar and water, but I didn't know that you put lemon juice in it too.
Yeah, just a touch of lemon. Gets a little bit different of a smell because some people can't really handle the pure vinegar smell.
Vinegar smell.
Yeah. And then I have another spray bottle with just lemon and water in it.
What do you use that for?
I use it for when we're doing our microgreens, if I want to give them a quick little washing.
So oh, okay.
I'll spray it with the lemon water, and then I have another little spray bottle. We use filtered water and rinse the leaves back off again because that stuff's very delicate, the microgreens.
Yeah, they're itty bitty.
Yeah. It's funny. We'll do microgreens for lunch or whatever on bread
sandwiches
with like mayonnaise.
There you go.
Oh, you lost me again? But we always kid.
Yeah, for a second you said it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because like, the amount of microgreens we eat for lunch, like if we were to buy it at a microgreen store, it would cost like $200.
Yeah, they're expensive. And for a while, I'm trying to think of the ones that were like really pop. They were like a sprout and they were really popular. And then there was like this out. I don't remember if it was what Listeria or something that. And then they stopped, all the stores out here stopped carrying them. Like you couldn't find them anywhere.
Well, we do all of our own microgreens. And if we're going to have Chinese food or whatever, we'll grow our own bean sprouts. Like we'll have to know like 4 days ahead of time.
Yeah. Like alfalfa sprouts. Is alfalfa sprouts like a microgreen?
It's not from the seeds. Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's
okay.
One of the more
okay.
popular ones that we do.
Yeah.
Alfalfa,
hey, Mike. But.
The problem isn't from the plant or from the seeds. It's from whatever they were using to water it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they'll absorb whatever is there. And if somehow the water's contaminated going into the microgreens, because microgreens and lettuce are like 95% water, they'll pull in all the bad stuff.
Oh, okay. Now, and that's what I was hearing too, because for the longest time when you hear about, oh, these lettuces and stuff have salmonella or listeria or whatever, they were talking about the people that were picking them were not being very clean with washing their hands. That was like the rumor. But then they're saying, no, a lot of these places where they grow the lettuce are by farms. And when it rains and stuff, the manure that is around the farms, water gets, you know, travels and it gets into where the other stuff is. And that's what it is. And it's not these stupid rumors that people put around. But crazy.
It's not the farmers or the pickers. It's the root of the evil is the water that it takes to feed them.
Yeah.
Is where it comes from. So they're like right into it pretty much. But like I said, even we don't buy certain things because there's been recalls on certain things, but even stuff that hasn't been recalls in, I'll let it soak in lemon juice for a while, and lemon juice will replace just about anything, but I don't want to lick it and stamp it and have anybody, you know, actually try it or whatever. That's just how we do it. That's our opinion on it. That's how we feel safe eating our food.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I would buy lettuce and I would tell Aaron, we have to wash it first. You can't just use it. Don't just use it. You have to wash it. Well, and so then I had to get in a habit of just washing it and putting it in the drawer, which I don't like to do unless I'm using it right away because it seems to wilt faster. Maybe, I don't know if that is that true. I don't know if you wash it. See, I use one of those sprays. So now that I know that you can just use vinegar and a little bit of lemon juice, you know, like the fruit sprays you buy at the store?
Yep, which is basically made out of
vinegar, right?
Like even McDonald's, you can get in the Happy Meals, you get apple slices.
Uh-huh.
They have lemon juice in them so that they don't turn brown.
Turn brown? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's an citric acid, right? Mm-hmm. So there you go. Makes sense.
Alrighty, well, I'm gonna rock and roll.
Yes,
hello, Mike.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I know. Now
if
we're gonna.
Still here.
yeah, he probably is. Yeah, Mike, we're gonna shut it off. So, and we'll be there tomorrow morning, Friday tomorrow morning. We'll be live. So thanks, Bam Bam.
Thanks for having me up. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, it'll be
for
cool.
Sure. Rock and roll.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Later, guys.
Bye. Bye, Mike. Now I got to figure out how to, how do you end it on?